Hey folks, this is Audacity and Loving Life, and I'm your host, Sean Matos. I just woke up from a nap, so I'm not really, like, I'm still in that foggy zone of passing out, you know. I was super tired, you know, so I did a lot of run around, so I got, you know, Gary and Kelly a gift and everything. And they're nice, not naughty gifts. I was going to do naughty, but I would have to go into Philadelphia to do what I wanted to do, but I just didn't feel it today. So I went out of town, but just not to Philly, you know. But anyway, I saw a beautiful, loving photograph on Facebook of Demi Moore and Bruce Willis. And if anybody knows, you know, I'm sure everybody knows that Bruce Willis was forced to retire because he has, it's like a frontal lobe dementia. So he couldn't remember things and stuff like that. So he had to retire and everything. And it's really a progressive disease, you know. Demi Moore and his current wife and her children from Bruce Willis, Demi Moore's children from Bruce Willis, and his current wife's children, they're all like this big, one big family full of love and support. And it's absolutely beautiful how they took their love and transformed it into a different type of love from the love they had for their marriage. But they took the core of their love and they transformed it into this beautiful friendship. And, you know, even like Bruce Willis was at her wedding with Ashton Kutcher, and she was at his wedding with his wife. And, you know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely what I believe that love is, that, you don't have to be in love with somebody or love the person the same way anymore, but that you should take that core of love and you can transform it into something else and still have something beautiful with that person. You know, and yes, I'm sure they didn't have an ugly divorce. They didn't, but I'm sure they had ugly times with each other that caused them to believe that we're not meant for each other anymore. You know, there was a time when we were meant for each other, and now we're not meant for each other anymore, or whatever. And that happens, too, where people aren't meant for each other, and they become meant for each other. You know, there's people that meet, and, like, the boss that I had for the graphics place in New York, like, she met the love of her life, but it wasn't the time for them to be together. And after she got a divorce and he got a divorce and they ran into each other, they're married and living happily ever after in Long Island now, you know. So shit happens like that, you know. Or people fall apart and come back together, and they come back together better than they ever were, you know. Because they weren't in the right place in life. They weren't mature enough. They weren't, they didn't see each other for who they really were, whatever the case may be, you know. I thought that is absolutely how I believe. Look, are we going to have relationships in our life where we can never speak to that person again? Or, you know, friendships, or, you know, romantic relationships, or even family relationships where they've crossed the boundaries way too much with you, and at some point you've got to say, I've had enough. I have to maintain some sense of my self-respect and self-worth. And you keep violating that over and over and over throughout the years. And no, I'm not going to engage in anything unless you apologize and you come show up differently. You know, and that's all it is. It's not, you'll never be in my life anymore. But, you know, you need to apologize, or if not apologize, you know, people can show up differently in their life. And some people are going through shit. Like right now, this is why I'm so, like, I don't want to vilify the bartender, because, first of all the things that I did for her was out of love, authentic love and caring. Even if she didn't love me back, even if she wants to deny she had any kind of feeling for me, the fact of the matter is I still have to maintain my character, my integrity, and the fact that I do love her and I do care about her. And I still feel the same about her, even though I'm hurt, even though I'm angry, even though I'm disappointed, you know, I still have love for her and love her. And I don't want to vilify somebody who I feel is going through a dark night of the soul situation right now. And with that comes, you know, I think what happened is I triggered. Some people are avoiders, and she's an avoider. She doesn't, she's a surface feeling kind of person. She doesn't like to do the deep dive into her feelings. She doesn't like confrontation. And it's not that she doesn't like it. She can't handle it. She can't handle conflict, confrontation, deep emotional feelings. She doesn't know how to deep dive into her own emotions. It's scary for her. Brings up anxiety. It brings up, I think, past trauma or abandonment issues, as I have the same issues, but I've learned to deal with them. But I've got 30 years on her, not 30, but like 25 years on her, and life experiences. So have I been where she's at? Yes, I have. Have I deflected? Yes, I have in the past. You know, and gaslighted, yes, I have in the past, because I couldn't deal with my own feelings. So what's the best thing to do when people can't deal with their own feelings is to gaslight and deflect and deny and accuse other people, you know, and say, I don't have them feelings for this person. You know, that didn't happen, whatever the case may be, because you have to not only be willing and able, but be at a point where you can deal with the deep dive into your own feelings. Some people aren't prepared for that. Some people it doesn't happen till later. Like, this may be the instigator of her looking into her emotions and then no, peeking in and saying, no, I'm not dealing with this shit. No, I'm going to tell everybody these lies about this and the situation or whatever, because I'm not going there. I'm not dealing with it, you know. I'm going to blame it on her. I'm going to make it seem like she's crackhead crazy about what happened between us and everything. And, you know, you can't force people to handle that shit. They've got to handle it on their own. But I don't want to vilify her. It's not a funny scenario to be in. It's not funny to be through that dark night of the soul. And people go through it. People go through it when they're getting a divorce, you know. And it's not a bad thing. It's just a lot of chaotic feelings within you. It really is. Because you're allowing things to surface that you've suppressed for so long that you have to deal with. And it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to deal with abandonment issues because your father abandoned you when you were a kid. It's not an easy thing that you've never been able to handle your own emotions and stuff without going to your mother for everything and looking for that advice and support, and let mommy sort out my feelings about things that, because I don't want to sort out my feelings on my own, kind of a thing, you know. So, you know, everybody's gone through that dark night of the soul, or will go through it at one point or another. And it's a huge transitioning point in your life. It absolutely changes you. And the people that trigger that in you can be in your life forever. And once you recognize this person is my twin flame, my soulmate, my, you know, the instigator of the change within me, and they did truly love me and care about me, and I just didn't see it because I was so not wanting to deal with my feelings and or realize my feelings or whatever the case may be. Or, you know, it could just be that that person instigates that change and you never see them again. You know, it was just because they were meant to be in your life at that time to conjure up all the things you needed to come to the surface that you needed to deal with to grow and to learn that you were suppressing for so long, and that that person triggered that in you because they loved you so much and they cared about you so much and they saw so many awesome things about you that you never even believed in yourself. And a lot of people, before the dark night of the soul, don't have self-respect, self-worth. You know, they don't even see, they think that, well, I can't, I'm not as intelligent as this person, so how would they ever accept me? You know, how can they even see anything in me because I'm not this smart. I don't know this. I've never been in this type of connection before or whatever, you know, or I don't think I'm as pretty as this person thinks I am or as smart as this person thinks I am or as talented as this person thinks I am. You know what I mean? I don't see what they see in me. And the person that triggers that is usually the person that sees you for who you are and all the beauty in you. And it makes you look, it forces you to look at yourself and say, well, why don't see that? Why do they love me so much? Why do they think I'm beautiful? Why do they think I'm smart? Why do they think I have more potential than I do? Or whatever. You know, and why are they making all this effort and I'm not making any effort towards them, you know? But it's people that come through your life, either for, you know, a moment to change your life or, to be there for a long time and you don't realize it until after you've gone through the dark night of the soul. And then you're like, wow, this is my person. This was my person all along, and I didn't see them because of all the fucking things that I believed that weren't true or all the things that I did not see in myself that they saw or whatever the case. And the fact that I was able to dive deep into my own self and my own emotions and my past traumas and everything and pull that all out and fucking as chaotic and hurtful as it is, you know, clean up my damaged and broken soul so that I can be loved properly and love properly and care properly, you know, and not deflect and not try and cover up my feelings by lying about somebody else because I can't face it or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I'm joking around and everything because at the end of the day, let's face it. Like I said, in 5 years, will this time matter? No. When you see people die, and you know, all the things that happen to them in life, good and bad, that's it. Psh, one breath and it's gone, you know. So it's so important that we live our lives in the here and now, and that, you know, as much as I joke around, I do joke around because I know I find a humor in the darkest things because I've been there, and that's what has made me survive everything. You know, if I was to take things absolutely so serious, and do I get serious? Yes. Am I an emotional person? Yes. Am I passionate? Yes. But I also have compassion and sympathy and empathy for the people that are going through things that I have gone through already, you know, and try and look at it from their point of view. If I was going through this again, how would I be? Well, I would be just like what she's doing to me right now because I'm not there yet. I haven't found myself yet. I'm not recognizing, you know, I wasn't recognizing the people that were bringing love and change into my life for the good, you know. All the bad things that I went through were also good things. It really was. And through the, like, when I was fighting the lawsuit, and I ended up getting my lawyer involved in other people's situations that they filed a lawsuit against the same place and won. So it helped them to get the justice that they wanted only because of what I was going through and my understanding of how they felt because of what I was going through. So sometimes we have to go through the worst of it all to recognize the best of it all, and that we have to go through bad things so that we can understand and have compassion for other people that are going through the same thing and be there for them in some way or another. Like every bad thing that I've ever gone through, I've used it to support people that have gone through something similar that, you know, that I've gone through. So, and be empathetic and compassionate and supportive of them. So, if you know, and my thing is this. If I deny my love for the bartender, I'm doing a disservice to myself. I'm not going to lie to myself and say, I don't love the bartender. I don't care. It doesn't matter what she feels. It's how I feel. What she, I'm not going to end up with her. We're not going to be in a marriage. We're not going to be in a relationship. We're probably never even going to be in a friendship. You know, I'm just saying it from how this scenario is right now. Will it and can it change? It sure can. She can, like I said, show up differently to me. She can say, hey, now I see what, now I understand. Now I see you for who you are. Now I appreciate everything, you know. Or she can never say anything to me ever again, and I'm moving on with my life and she's moving on with her life and, you know, whatever. But my thing is, you know, denying your feelings and not owning them and, you know, pretending you don't care about somebody when you do. I care about her. I do. I love her and I care about her. I'm not going to deny, even if she's saying horrible fucking things about me. You know, it's on her. I'm not going to. And, you know, look, I can believe horrible things. I can believe she breadcrumbed me. I can believe all that. And she could very well have done that. But, you know, I don't want to vilify her. And look, you know, my opinions about people cheating on each other, I don't believe, I cannot fathom telling somebody that I love them and then cheating on them, or marrying somebody and then cheating on them. To me, that is the absolute most violation, biggest violation you can ever have. To say I love you and I care about you, then lie to them while you're fucking somebody behind their back or whatever. No, I'm sorry. I just don't get it. You have all the right to fuck whoever you want, lie to your lovers and boyfriends and girlfriends and husbands and wives. But I feel that is, how can you trust somebody that can say they love you and then fuck around behind your back and violate that soul commitment with each other? You know what I mean? So no, I mean, do people make mistakes? Yes, but I'm sorry, that's a mistake. I can't find an excuse for, you know, I really can't. And look, are there people that are in unhappy marriages? Yes. Are there people that don't get the attention from their husband and wife that they want? Yes. But that's what's called communication. Honey, I'm feeling really like unloved. You're not paying attention to me. We're not doing things together. We're not going out on date night. You know, we've fallen into this vortex of doom where you're coming home and sitting and watching TV and I'm in the other room and we have no connection anymore and we need to reconnect. Or, and if you don't feel it, then please tell me so that I know that we can go our separate ways and I can find Tom, Dick, and Harry to fuck around with and you can find Sally and Sue. But, you know, to me, I just, that's the ultimate moral violation, you know, within a relationship with somebody, you know. I cannot lie to somebody and that I love like that, you know, and violate that relationship, you know. But that's me, you know. There's people that, you know, whatever, that's on them. You know, that's my opinion, that's my feelings, that's my belief. Everybody can believe differently if they want. And I believe, too, that some people need time to you know, grow up, own their feelings, go through whatever they need to go through, and get on the other side of that so that they can see clearly, you know, who love them and truly love them versus people that, you know, said they love them but didn't really show it in all the efforts and actions and compassion and love and whatever. You know, bouncing in and out of relationships without taking that deep dive, you're not really connecting to people. You know, you're just running the surface, you know, and at some point you meet somebody who triggers that deep dive into your emotions. And I think I was that for her. And I think that, you know, there's somebody that I won't mention that did the same for me, you know. And was it a tumultuous time within me? Yes. But I came out the other side recognizing what love really is versus what pretend love is, surface love, fake love is. You know, and I choose to remain in genuine love with people, you know. So, yeah, I do love the bartender. I do care about her. And I do want to stop talking about her because if she has listened to the podcast, you know, I've said some negative things and everything like that, even though she said a lot of shit behind my back, and it's very hurtful and disappointing. It takes two to tango. And I really don't want to throw any negative energy out to her. I want to remain in the positive zone and remain in the belief that, you know, she is another human being going through whatever she needs to go through, and that I need to respect that, even if she's not respecting me. You know, I need to remain in my own integrity and try and respect what she is going through, her journey, you know, and maintain the love that I have. So with that, I wanted to address something because Mr. John Doe, this is, I'm going to be honest and I'm not joking. It's no longer funny when people make plans and they implement the plans and they book rooms and all that and then say, oh yeah, by the way, We're going Thursday night, and we've already booked rooms and everything to stay Thursday night and Friday night after the fact. Same thing with Punta Cana. Like, nobody said anything to me about, okay, now we're thinking about going to this all-inclusive resort. And instead, they implement, you know, they get everything together and everything, and then they say, oh, by the way, this is what we're going to do if you want to join in. And then, not only that, 2 days later, say, by the way, tomorrow morning while I'm at work, we're going to go book the fucking trip. Without me being able to, you know, have any kind of heads up or anything else. So, that's people making a plot and a plan without even telling anybody else that you want included in the plot and the plan. Until after the fact is implemented. That's not fair, and that's not right. I wouldn't do that to people. I say, hey, look, you know, this is what we're planning. What do you think? You know, are you able? If you can't, then that's fine. But do you want to book an extra night, too, and go down with us or whatever? But this is the couple shit. This is, I'm not in a couple, so I'm not included. You guys don't include us. You say no, it doesn't matter, but it does, because when you're a couple and you're making plans with other couples, then you're saying, well, it's a couples only kind of a situation. Oh, by the way, if you want to jump on board, then, you know, you can jump on board with us, but this is what we're doing, and we're not going to include you in the plan of it all. We're just going to throw it out there and then see if it sticks with you, kind of a thing. So FYI, that's kind of rude to do that to people, you know, because you shouldn't, you know. And I don't know if you do that to Tammy too, but I know that's like definitely done to me, where I'm never even fucking, nobody calls me or texts me and say, hey, Sean, we're talking about, this is what we're going to do. Do you want to do it ahead of time? You know, like, we changed our plans last minute, but we're going to be booking rooms and on Thursday night. If you can do it, you know, that'd be cool. If not, you know, I just want to let you know, not tell me, oh, yeah, we booked Thursday night. We're going down Thursday. And, you know, whatever. It's like, come on, guys, really? You know, the same thing with the Punta Cana trip. It's like, I'm at work until late at night. What was it, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night or whatever? How am I going to go fucking? And then I had to work the next morning. So I'm at work and I can't do anything about booking shit that you guys knew about and changed your mind about. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I don't, you know, like, when you say you're included in everything and it's not a couple thing, but it is a couple thing when you're doing that kind of shit. So FYI, that's how I really feel. I don't know if you do that to Tammy or anybody else, but that's how I feel about the situation. And for anybody else listening to the podcast, don't do that to people. If you're part of a group and you're planning something, then the whole group should be planning something. Not five members of the group and then two other people are left out to, okay, well, this is what we're doing now. Just throw it out there. And then it's like, oh, yeah, well, if you want to do it, then we've already planned it and already booked it. And where, you know what I mean? Like, come on, that's not right. And, you know, so anyway, I speak my mind. I do. So I'm speaking my mind, not only for me, but for other people who are ever caught up in that situation. You know, especially people that are single and they're dealing with friends that are couples, that it's, you know, it always seems to be like the couples. Majority rules, we're only worried about the couples and if us couples can get together. And the rest of you, yeah, if you want to tag along, yeah, you can tag along with us. All right? You fucking mean girls are being mean, I'm telling you. So anyway, yeah, I really want to give the bartender peace. And you know, so I know people want to hear this. Okay, so I know people talked about me about the series. I know people want to hear about the bartender. I realize it does drop tremendously, the listeners, when I don't talk about the bartender. But quite frankly, if the bartender wants to move on with her life, I definitely want to move on with my life. You know, like, I do have options, yes. Am I going to take them? Most likely not. Because just as the bartender has to figure herself out, and go through the dark night of the soul or whatever, I also have to heal from this situation because I did, whether she intentionally wants to harm me or not, she did lie to me and lie about me. And I don't, you know, like, I have to heal from that, you know, because there's major trust issues that she has conjured up that I now have to deal with on top of abandonment issues and shit like that that have resurfaced. You know, and obviously it's going to happen because we are human and we are going to get triggered by people. And even if they don't intentionally do it, you know, it's still a trigger. And I'm sure I'm unintentionally triggered her in a way, you know. So we're both trying to find peace in our life and move on in different directions. And you know, and I want to allow her to do that with love and caring and compassion for whatever it is that she's going through, regardless of what she says and does about me. And that I hope that she can feel the same way about me, that, you know, whatever I'm saying is coming from hurt and anger and disappointment. And I believe whatever she's saying is coming from the same place. We're in the same place, you know. And she's in a much different place, in a darker place, because she's younger than I am. And she hasn't been through the stuff that I've been through. And I think she has a lot of things that maybe at this point in her life, she can maybe dive deep in within herself to sort out, you know. And it's not a as much as I joke around, it's not a funny scenario to be in at all, you know. People can believe whatever they want to believe about me. I know the universe sees everything. The universe knows God, if there's a God, knows everything and sees everything and knows your soul and your heart and whether you're genuine or not, you know. And that's it. And I know that, you know, as long as the people that know me, and the universe knows me, and God knows me, I'm good. It doesn't matter about other people that don't know me. Like I said with that meme, people will try and recruit other people to hate you for things that you never did wrong to them, only because they want to be loyal to the person that is spewing the hate and the lies and everything out to everybody, because they need support. People in that position always need to have numbers behind them. I don't need any numbers behind me. I'm good on my own, you know, because I stand in my truth. So this is, you know, look. People want to be in each other's lives or they don't want to be in each other's lives. You know, they make the effort or they don't make the effort. They make the changes or they don't make the changes. They want to spend time with you or they don't want to spend time with you, you know. And you're going to come across those people. As much as you love them and care about them and want to be a part of their life and experience life experience with them and be there to support them and, you know, whatever, and hold their hand through horrible shit in their life or whatever. If they don't want that from you, there's nothing you can do except, you know, love them, care about them, still be there for them if they come to you, you know, but keep moving, keep trucking. And I know what I have envisioned for my life, and I know that, you know, it's coming. It's coming. I don't know when from where, but I know it. I feel it, that all the anything that I've manifested, anything that I've envisioned in my life is gonna happen, you know, and everything that I have envisioned that has already happened in my life is because I envisioned it, I manifested it, and I knew it was coming, and it came. And it came at divine timing. So I truly believe that, you know, and that's how I live my life. And I've never been disappointed in that. Have I been impatient about it? Sure have. Have I fucking kind of fucked up the course a little bit because I operated from ego? Sure have, you know, but, you know, being a good person, even to bad people, has always led to blessings for me in some way or another. And I want to stay that way. I want to be that good person, even if somebody's being bad to me or behind my back or whatever. I still want to maintain that. And, you know, you guys got to get your shit together with the plotting and planning without including me and anybody else that's single with the fucking plans. Because I could have, I'm pretty sure I worked late on Thursday night. But, you know, like I could have booked the room on Thursday night and fucking went down right after work, you know, or whatever, and had my friends watch the dogs and everything for an extra night, you know, but no, just throw it out there. Oh yeah, here it is, Wednesday. Yeah, next week, we've already booked the room and everything, Sean, which now, fuck it, I'm not even going to bother, but, you know, you could ask, hey, Sean, guess what, we're thinking about booking Thursday night too, you know, in case you want to, we're booking, you know, whatever, fucking motherfuckers. Anyhow, I'm just fucking with you. No, you're really being mean, you mean girls. No, just fucking with you. Anyhows, I don't know. I'm just taking the gifts back and not going on Friday night either. I'm just fucking with you either. I'm just fucking with you guys. But I'm being honest about the fact that you guys need to get, you need to start including the people that, if we're all friends, then we're all a team, and we're all friends, and we all, like, talk to each other about, okay, this is what we're thinking about doing, not this is what we did, and if you want to jump on the bandwagon, guess what, you know, not that kind of way. I'm going to teach you guys, too, like I'm teaching the bartender and the rest of the people in this world that are listening to my podcast. I'm going to teach you guys how to be all-inclusive with your friends, whether they're single, gay, lesbian, a couple, whatever, you know, a guy or a girl or somebody confused and uses the men's bathroom. No, just kidding. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Every time I go to the women's room at work, their, you know, customers look back, do a double take, like, wait, what is this guy doing this? And I heard this two women were in the bathroom, and they saw me that were friends. And then they, as they went out the door, they were like, what is a fucking guy doing in the women's room? Oh, they must be having a sex change. And I'm like, yep, I kind of have that effect on people. So what are you going to fucking do? It's not my fucking problem. I don't care. I'm a Geiger. Can't help it. This is who I am. I feel absolutely comfortable with just being me, you know, and it took a long time to get here. And I don't give a fuck whether people like it or not, can't understand it. I don't give a shit. I'm more of a guy than a girl. Unfortunately, I think I got, like I said, I think I got everything from my twin in me, you know, except for the body parts, really, you know. But other than that, I feel more like a guy than I do a girl. Like, maybe 90% guy and 10% girl or whatever. I don't know. I think the girl part of me is the compassion and love and the deep feelings that I have for people, you know. And, you know, I think that that's my feminine side is that, you know, is my soft heart and my love and everything else, you know. And then, you know, all I want to do is play football and ride bikes and do all this guy shit, you know. And it, like I said, you know, I understand how guys feel about the inside of a woman's vagina because, you know, like I said, I'm not going to lie, fist fucking was an awesome fucking thing for me. I mean, it really was a turn on for me. I never even thought it would be, but I completely understand how awesome it feels, I'm sure, for a guy to feel a woman have an orgasm on your penis or whatever. Like, I felt it on my hand, you know? So, yeah, it was fucking absolute turn on. So, I'm a guy. I'm a fucking guy without a dick. That's all I can tell you, you know? Unfortunately, you know, so, and I can guarantee you that if I was a guy, for real, that me and a bartender would be married right now, but because I'm not a guy, that's the biggest fucking, cog in the wheel, on top of the fact that her sister hates my guts and fucking talks shit about me all the time. So, yeah, okay, so there's two things, but anyway, one of the dogs farted, and when I tell you, it's a lethal fucking weapon, and I really think it's Muffin. I don't think it's Scout. I really think Muffin just fucking farted, and it's fucking horrible. But anyway, I gotta work late. Oh, that's right. I work late in Vineland tomorrow. I do my late shift in Vineland tomorrow. Awesome. But I still don't. Although, you know what? They're like, I don't know. Yeah, they're like family to me, you know, most of the people and everything. And we work so well together when we're catching people and stuff, you know. And they look out, they're like, Sean, you know, like the, some of the managers, when they leave, they're like, Sean, look out, you know, look out for the ship. You know, we know that you run a tight ship and you'll, you know, like, even though you're not, a manager or whatever, we know that you're, when we leave and we know you're here, that things are going to be good because you have the balls as big as the sun. If you need to confront anybody or handle any situation or help us handle a situation, that we know you're not going to have a problem. Like, you just go up to people, put that thing down. You don't care how big they are, you know, or whatever. You're going to go right up to them and say, no, put that away. Get the fuck out of the store. That's it. You're out of here, you know. They're like, you have the biggest balls in the world, and we love that, you know, so we know it's a good thing when we leave and you're here, so yeah, I'll be there, like, till 10:30 tomorrow night, but, hey, 2 to 10:30, you know, I get to sleep in a little bit, and I'll do some laundry tomorrow morning, maybe ride my bike, I don't know what kind of weather it's gonna be, and then fucking pack my shit up and go into work, and chill the fuck out. So, anyway, so please don't be mad at me or disappointed. I guess I'll try and find new material. I gotta find new material, like Kelly says. I gotta find new material to talk about because I don't want the bartender to be material anymore. I really don't. And, you know, And I don't want to keep going over how I feel about her or what she's doing and saying behind my back, you know, or whatever. Like, I kind of, I want to move on. Like, I feel like I'm blocking my blessings by staying in this zone with talking about the bartender because it's, you know, entertainment for people, or, you know, they're learning from the situation, or they can, it resonates with them or whatever. I get that. But for my benefit, as well as the bartender's benefit, I would much rather just, you know, kind of end it like that, you know, and end it on a good note with love and compassion and understanding of what she is going through within herself that has more to do with her than me, you know. And I know that I am the target right now because it's much easier to target another person when you can't handle what's going on with inside of you, you know. And I hope that she is able to do that, because I think when she comes out of it, she's going to feel so much better about herself and her life and her direction in life, and recognize when she's truly being loved for who she is, and you know, value herself more and see all the potential in herself that I saw in her, you know, and everything. And you know, and then I wish her all the love and happiness in the world. I want the best for her. I've always wanted the best for her. I'm not stopping wanting the best for her if I stop talking to her, or I'm not stopping loving her if I stop talking to her or stop talking about her on the podcast or whatever, and I move on with my life and I end up with somebody else. It doesn't mean I still don't care about her or love her or wish her the best. You know what I mean? So, and with that, I'm going to get going, because I think I took a nap and I think I feel like I want to take another. You know what I feel like is, really, I want some Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I might just get dressed and run to ShopRite. Has these little tiny, I think it's ShopRite, that has this little tiny Ben and Jerry's ice cream that I don't know how much it is. I forget. But you know what? Once in a while, I do this. I'll buy some of the people, at work, I buy them the little Ben and Jerry's ice cream cups things, which are awesome. Or like for Valentine's Day, which was one of my favorite holidays, I bought a whole bunch of chocolate covered strawberries and I handed them out to all the cashiers and they were so fucking happy, you know. So yeah, I do shit like that. You know, I buy a bunch of ice cream cups and everything so everybody can have, or I bought some, I bought these, Voodoo New Orleans style. It's called, what is it? Zappo pretzels, Voodoo, New Orleans style pretzels, splendidly seasoned or whatever. Oh my God, they're so, they have honey mustard too, but the splendidly seasons are addictive. Like, fuck, you can eat the whole fucking bag. So I shared them with, I bought a big bag and I shared some with the people at, in Vineland, and then I shared some in Hamilton, and everything. Cause I was like, you know, of course, you know, otherwise I would have sat there and ate the whole fucking bag. So I was like, no, I got to share these motherfuckers, because there's no way. But yeah, anyway, y'all have a good one. I needed to do that tongue lashing with you guys, so deal with it. And I'm sure I'll get a text from somebody and say, oh, we didn't realize we were doing that to you. We love you. We care about you. But fuck you, Sean. We're making plans without you. No. All right. I'll talk to you. I love you guys anyway. You know that. It's just, you know, sometimes people don't realize what they're doing until you call them out on it. So hopefully you'll wake the fuck up and not do that shit anymore. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Take care, man.